Over the summer, Congress passed Trump's budget bill that provides massive funding increases for immigration and customs enforcement, ICE, and border security, totaling around $170 billion over 4 years, aimed at expanding the Trump regime's mass deportation agenda, hiring more agents, building detention facilities, and widening community enforcement. When Trump signed the bill on July 4th, Department of Homeland Security Secretary Kristi Noem declared that, quote, "This $165 billion in funding will help the Department of Homeland Security and our brave law enforcement further deliver on President Trump's mandate to arrest and deport criminal illegal aliens," and all in caps, "Make America Safe Again." Well, Mike, what's been the result of all of this? We've seen this unfold now over half a year. It's not new, but some of it is new.
Well, Jan, I'm actually rather optimistic. I've been really deeply moved by how strong and how resilient the popular opposition to this effort to create a gigantic private police force for Trump has been. I mean, look locally here at Hillsborough. There were just a week ago hundreds of students demonstrating, marching for 3 miles across Hillsborough, which is unusual in and of itself, but the most striking thing was all the support these students got. They got support from all the government authorities, businesses were supportive, TV stations were supportive, and this is echoed all around the country.
Can you just say a little bit about Latino communities in Hillsborough? Why Hillsborough?
Well, Hillsborough has long been a center of Latino life. There are people working in the fields, and the agricultural field has always been very prosperous there. And they have been putting on, celebrating Mexican annual holidays, and there's a significant community there, as there are in other parts of Portland and down to Woodburn and over to Hood River. Much of the agricultural work here, as everywhere, is done by Latinos.
And those are areas also where there's a rich history of farm worker organizing.
That's right. And the striking thing is that much of Trump's advantage was, to everyone's shock, to the Republicans' pleasure, was a significant Latino vote of support for Trump. And much of the Latino community is split, like most communities, with people with different interests. There are people who have been there forever, people whose grandparents were born in the U.S. There are people who have legitimate green cards, and they're undocumented people, and they're all working together. There was a lot of support for the idea of Trump's kind of general machismo and conservative Catholic views, and then a belief that he would support a sort of a slow and steady process of becoming a citizen over 10 to 12 years. But what's happened, of course, is that ICE has arrested everybody. They have stopped everybody. And not only have they arrested people with legitimate green cards and people who were born in the U.S., but they've stopped these people in even much greater numbers, put them in jail for days at a time. And as a result, there's a widespread recognition, as there was in California in the 90s, a recognition that in one fell swoop, converted California from a Republican state to a Democrat state. Trump doesn't really care what your status is. He only notices that you're brown. And it's complete, the racist nature is so daily exposed. The arrest of people, not who are criminal cartel members, but people who put on your roofs, going to Home Depot parking lots, going.
Daycare centers, schools.
Yeah, that's right. All the places where work gets done that's critical to maintaining the society, that's where they're finding people to arrest. There's obviously a lot less dangerous than arresting cartel members who may be well armed.
I mean, that was part of the early assessments of this massive expansion that is equivalent to the full military budget and even economies of many countries around the world. I mean, It's a very, very big number, particularly set against all of the agencies that have been cut back or dismantled by the Trump regime. But even with all of that massive funding, they were falling far short of their goals this fall. And even with that cover story, the narrative around dangerous illegals, as they call them, illegal aliens, as they call them, it's quite apparent that this is not at all conforming to the campaign promise. How important is it to keep up the facade that this is about protecting communities from dangerous people who are here illegally?
This is a vivid example of how important popular resistance is, because what's happened is that nobody likes all this. The most traditional authoritarian sources of info, the daily papers like the Oregonian, like the Los Angeles Times, the Chicago Tribune, they're all against it. Every day the internet is flooded with videos taken of people surrounding ICE agents, of people protecting people who are about to be arrested.
With whistles.
There are whistles, there's every sort of resistance, every sort of recording of what's going on. That has led to real problems with recruiting, because who wants to live with an ICE agent? Who wants to go out for beers with somebody who works for ICE? Who wants to try to get a date by saying, hey, I work for ICE? Nobody.
So, Mike, we've talked a lot about the movement to abolish the police, which never succeeded as a broad campaign in the most radical sense. But, you know, because the police have a place in communities, there's always been ambivalence in minority communities around the police because they're more repressive than enforcing and protecting them. Nonetheless, the police, particular local police around the country, have a place people recognize that is legitimately tied to security. How would you see these border agents or ICE agents and their campaign for legitimacy versus police and the anti-policing movement?
Well, the abstract notion of protecting borders is one that everybody will more or less support. But the gritty reality, the quotidian shows on TikTok and on YouTube are of people arresting not criminals, not people who are selling drugs or killing people or hurting their family members or doing criminal activities, but people who are trying to work, people who are trying to maintain an ongoing complex society by filling in the gaps, by working in the hot, dry fields. And the coverage of these kinds of attempts to arrest people going about their business or actually working at jobs which everyone recognizes need to be done has steadily undermined the idea that these people have anything to do with security or safety.
Yeah, so there are a record high rates of detention of migrants by ICE agents. I think it was over 65,000, close to 66,000 as of the end of November. And these people are often moved by buses and flights from detention facilities to places far from their homes, which makes it difficult for families to visit them and for their lawyers to track them. How would you describe that part of the picture, the legal front, as very high rates of people detained by ICE agents? And what happens to them? And what is happening to them?
Well, what's happening is the immigration court system is clogged. You know, as we reported a year ago, this is an area uniquely under the sway of the executive branch of government. The criminal law is a local matter, a judicial matter, but the executive branch has complete control of the immigration system. So they were able to fire immigration judges, hire the kinds of people they wanted to immediately act all along the border and within the country.
That includes a lot of lawyers, right?
Yeah, oh, tons of lawyers. Well, what's happened is that courts are hopelessly bogged down. And I just spoke with an immigration lawyer who's from San Jose, and he says that Trump 1 was very similar. He had the same philosophy at that time. He enforced it. He got rid of as many administrative judges and immigration law judges that he could, who were he perceived as being soft on immigrants. And as a result, cases backed up, and they became a hugely clogged system that only became unclogged when a Democrat was elected, new judges were appointed, and more favorable results were reached for many immigrants. And right now, cases are being put off, postponed, backed up to 28, 29 years from it now. So he suspects what will happen will be essentially a rerun, that the system is broken down now for various reasons. All sorts of cases are being completely postponed. Cases that are inevitable, cases when people turn 21, there's activities to do in immigration courts that are not being done. And so, yeah, you're right. People, I don't mean to paint a pretty picture, because there are people being harassed and arrested.
And there are people
The
behind these
cloud
cases
system.
in limbo. What is the status of people whose cases are in this limbo state?
Well, most of them are remain out and about. They simply cannot build prisons, and they cannot develop the manpower, the woman power, the person power to implement all their evil designs. I mean, they cannot hire people fast enough. The Daily Mail, a conservative paper in London, did a study on how they're so desperate they're hiring people whose drugs tests come back later and turn out to be positive. They're hiring retired cops who can't really walk more than 100 yards. They've got every sort of, they complain that we can't find a single person who's qualified.
There's
So
great sign-up bonuses.
I know they're offering $50,000 to sign up, but the people just aren't going for it. They don't want to have that present. They don't want to be defined by that job, or they're just don't want to play. And the result has been a clogged system that is not going to be resolved. And if my friend is right, till after 2028, the system will remain very clogged. It's not functioning. They can't build prisons in fast enough. They can't hire people in any way to maintain or fulfill all of their expansionist dreams.
Many of the detention facilities and prisons for immigrants are many of those funds are earmarked for contracts specifically put forward by Trump's own donor class. So there's a lot of money to be made on that front, and it's another blatant form among so many of corruption of this regime. You know how many of these donors are positioned to profit from all of the prison construction that's planned. Is there anything you see on that front? You're saying it's not that easy to just build prisons. Communities resist them, and there are resistance not just on economic grounds, but on political grounds and moral grounds.
That's right. We see that they're trying to move into the Oregon coast or the Portland airport. The efforts all over the country to build detention centers are being stoutly resisted by local communities. This is everywhere. This is New York. This is Minneapolis. This is Chicago. This is rural areas
And in
of
the South as
Northern,
well.
in the South as well. So they're having trouble. Trump, his efforts to extend his authoritarianism are just being foiled in other ways too. I mean, just last week, you might remember Kilmer Arrigo Garcia. He was going to be sent to El Salvador illegally. The big dust up about he was in fact sent there, then he was returned. Well, last week he was set free from all the judges there reported having been lied to by the Trump administration. And there are efforts all over the place of resistance emerging to this whole authoritarian effort.
What about the National Guard? That's been on most center stage on news over the last 6 months, not so much recently, but there have been some rulings by judges that have either stayed or stopped the deployment of National Guard. Can you say anything about that?
That's right. There have been, and their reach has been severely limited. There is a case going up before the U.S. Supreme Court, emerging from Chicago, that is going to be the lead case on the subject. It has somewhat calmed down that issue. The Ninth Circuit eventually supported the local district court judges ruling in Oregon banning them. They have been limited and they're having their poster boy run around from city to city. All these people dressed up in super defensive gear of all sorts of Kevlar vests and carrying big weapons. But that whole theatrics is not working as nearly as well as they had thought. The most recent efforts in North Carolina are sputtering, in New Orleans, in Chicago, in New York, here in Portland. They're sputtering. They've been struck down by district courts, and has many of those district court favorable opinions on various aspects of Trumpism have been themselves struck down by courts of appeal or by the U.S. Supreme Court. But these have curiously stopped with the approval of the district court's orders by appellate courts. So it's not clear how that's going to go.
With all of these funds available that can't even be spent because it's so difficult to implement a lot of this, why this last week has the Pentagon approved $2 billion for Homeland Security, diverting Pentagon funds from the military to the Department of Homeland Security? Why do they need $2 billion more, Kevin? They've got more money than any of them can spend. How do you make sense of that?
Well, my gloomiest assessment is that this is part of the wag the dog effort we're going to see. As Trump stutters and even falls, as people resist in all sorts of different ways, as like in lawsuits, people are now no longer paying the enormous bribes that he's been receiving from CBS and other companies. The Pulitzer Company, Pulitzer Prize Board was sued for billions of dollars by Trump for defamation, for having given Pulitzer Prizes to the Washington Post and the New York Times in 2017. But they have responded now by demanding in discovery that Trump put up his last 10 years' income tax records, his medical records, his psychological records, in order to support his claims of having been damaged. They're doing what good litigants would do, which would be to force him to either produce this stuff or deny that he was in any way damaged by what happened. Hopefully, the BBC will just cut and paste this 12-page discovery order request made by the Pulitzer Company.
Yeah, they're pushing back the BBC against that ridiculous lawsuit. And there is this sense of not just an emperor without clothes, but the robes are falling to expose this obscenely bloated, corrupt, maniacal person. And it's not even, Trump refers to himself in the third person increasingly, doesn't use first person, but he refers to Trump, which I think is fitting in a way because Trump is a phenomenon that exceeds the corporal flesh and the deteriorating mind of that person. It's another corpus altogether. And it's, all living things are mortal and die. And there's something about, there's a whiff of deathly, not only moral decay, but actual decay around this regime that seems to embolden people who are otherwise remarkable for their extreme cowardice and obscene courting of this regime. So I think that's part of what you're seeing with this picture, as I understand it.
Well, yeah, and back to your question about what the $2 billion is for, I think it may be because they anticipate big resistance to the upcoming war against Venezuela, which will take everybody's mind, they hope, off the whole slow, deadly leak of Epstein files and Epstein photographs and Epstein notes and all of the efforts to arrest people who are doing nothing other than going to work, all the obvious daily visible signs of decay, of a system that's not working, of a governance that isn't really governing. All of those will hopefully be distracted by the upcoming war. And the Pentagon wants all that homeland security money because they expect resistance to that war. And they think there's going to be domestic turmoil. Well, they'll be right.
Yeah, and then there are all of these other horrific developments with artificial intelligence and cryptocurrency, you know, the way the economy is being run by these techno-fascists, some call them, whatever you want to call them. They control massive amounts of resources and taking us as a society and a world to places we haven't been, and it's a horrific picture. So people are increasingly seeing that. You know, the usual disguises of empire are not there, and it's an ugly picture, and there will be resistance, and it will be televised.
That's right.
Okay, well, thanks, Mike, for joining me today on The Left and the Law, and I really appreciate the spirit of hope for hard times, that you're not just giving us thoughts and prayers, but concrete evidence, legal evidence that there's reason for hope.
There is, and it primarily stems from the fact that there's a massive countrywide resistance forming and emerging. It will express itself over the next year or two. And I'm actually optimistic.
Okay, we'll end on that note. We'll return to this in early 2026. Thanks, Mike.
Thank you.